Nachyomi for the Orthodox Union, Sefer Tehillim, the Book of Psalms, Perek Kuf Vav, Chapter 106. This is Rabbi Binny Marilis. Perek Kuf Vav is the last chapter in the in this section of Tehillim, and it ends off a sequence of Mizmorim that are sort of related to each other in terms of theme, and where we've seen before HaKadosh Baruch Hu described by the Meshorah, by the author, in terms of the Bria Sa'olam, how he handled the Bria, how he handled the people, how he interacts with the people. Here in Kuvav, where we've already discussed some of the things that went on with the Jewish people and their relationship with God, and how they interacted with each other. So here we get in Kuvav all of the Chatoim, the negative side of Klal Yisrael, leaving Mitzrayim and in the Midbar and in Eretz Yisrael. And even still with all that woven into the Mizmor is Techaste Hashem, the charity and the righteousness, the kindness that God operates with his people. There's a famous Chazal in Sefer Bereshis in the book of Genesis. Sages tell us that God always operates with Chesed, that even in the worst of situations, HaKadosh Baruch Hu always sort of returns favor with Chesed. So an example there is that after Adam and Chava are over, and Adam and Chava fail vis-a-vis the Eitz Hadas, with the tree, so even if they're punished, HaKadosh Baruch Hu then still does Chesed for them. So what's the Chesed he does for them? The chesed he does for them there is he gives them clothing, right? So even in punishing them, he still operates with the means of chesed. So say it's not out of any sort of animosity, but rather it's consequential. But even in consequence, I can still do chesed. It's an enormous muster haskel, an enormous message for us. Same thing with Moshe Rabbeinu in a certain sense. And Moshe Rabbeinu errs in one moment, and because of that he's punished, he doesn't get to go to Eretz Yisrael. But nonetheless, we see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in the end of the day, takes care of Moshe and is the one who berachamim, who bechesed, is the one who buries Moshe Rabbeinu, and he takes care of his kivura for all time. So woven into the Mizmor here, amongst all the charges and all the chatoim, it's very interesting to see how David HaMelech writes them, we still get the sense of the chesed of Hashem. So which the Malbim writes in his introduction, HaMizmor hazeh nimshach el HaMizmor shelamala. This Mizmor is connected to the previous one. Shehizkir eich shomer Hashem es habris. How it is that Hashem was careful and mindful about the covenant. V'hotziyami Mitzrayim v'nosal hames ha'aretz. Where there was talking about that he took them out of Egypt and gave them the land. V'dilag yeser hanisim she'osel lehem achayetz yes Mitzrayim, and it skipped over all of the other miracles that Hashem had performed for them when they left Egypt, like Kriyas Yamsuf, the Red Sea, and Bikiyas HaYarden, and the crossing of the Jordan. So he says, al zeh amar ki tzrihim tzrichim lahoydes l'Hashem. On those things we also have to provide thanks and ask thanks and say thanks to Hashem. Ki echesed shehizkir lasos imahem aso gam achar shechotu. Because the kindness and the righteousness with which Hashem acted and behaved with them even happened after the did chataim. Kemosha kosu but pasuk memhei, as it says in our Mizmor in this chapter, in verse 45, v'yizkar lehem beriso, that Hashem remembered the covenant, v'yinachem kirov chasadav, and that Hashem was comforted them and acted in a comforting manner according to all of his goodness. You know, a multitude of mercy is a beautiful way of saying it. He was full of mercy for them. So he says that, but Rakhem lo hikiru chasadov, They didn't grasp it, they didn't get it. Umaru v'hikzifu b'chol devador. In every generation, they were not good about it, and they caused anger to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ki inyan ki l'cha Hashem hatzdakav alana boshes haponim. Similar fashion to the one, something that we say on a regular basis when we try to do tshuva, we try to gird ourselves in repentance, because we say that the tzedakah, this righteousness, is with God, and we have the embarrassed and the reddened faced because we don't appreciate. And that's the sum total of this. It's a sense of appreciation, if you want to sort of play it forward, the sense of appreciation that we have to have in the relationships with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, the nisim gluyim, the overt miracles, and some of the nisim nistarim, the sort of what we would call covert or nondescript or non-public miracles that Hashem performs for us on a regular basis, even as perhaps in some cases we feel like we don't deserve them, or perhaps in reality we don't deserve them. And that's the sum total of this mizmor in short. And we'll see the different averos defined, and we'll see Hashem's goodness borne out in the midst of all of those averos. The mizmor begins, Hallelujah, Hodu l'Adonai ki tov ki li olam chasda. We should give thanks to Hashem because He is good, ki tov, that's one, and ki li olam chasda, for His chesed, His mercy is eternal and endures for all time. Mi yemalil gvoros Adonai, who can express the great mighty acts of Hashem? Yashmiya kol tilaso, right? Who can say and state all of the praises that have to be heard? The way that can be read is that the mi yemalil can go either place, right? It's a rhetorical exclamatory statement. Who can make such a claim? Who can make such a statement? Who can say any of those things? It's simply not possible. It's too many to enumerate. It's too many to state. Ay, velashrei shomrei mishpat, says the author, happy is to be the one who keeps the justice, oseh tzedakah b'chol es, who always does acts of righteousness at all times. Hashem is always doing that. Hashem is always operating in such a fashion. So it's praiseworthy to the person who is doing them as well, right? Who's always doing those types of things. He says now, sort of as part of his tefillah in this tefillah, Zachreini Adonai, Birtzon Amecha, Pakdeini Bishuasech. Remember me, Hashem, when you are favoring the people, when you're thinking about the people. Pakdeini Bishuasech. And think of me in the times of salvation. Pakdeini is sort of asking Hashem now just to think about Him, but when you do a salvation, when you bring the salvation, so remember me as part of that, put me in it. Liros betovas bechirecha, that I should be able to see and to behold with my own eyes the prosperity and the goodness that's coming to your people. Lismalach besimchas goyecha, that I may be able to rejoice and be part of the gladness of your people. Lehishalel imnachalasecha, that I may also be part of the glory, may offer to be praised amongst your inheritance, amongst your people. That's his request. And even as that is the case, that's his request, and that is his hope, fervent hope in the end of the days, at this point he fully acknowledges the past ineptitude of Klal Yisrael in moments, and our connection to those unfortunate acts. Chatanu im avoseinu, says the Mishorah, the author, we have sinned along with our fathers. He'avinu hirshanu, we have borne iniquity, and we have dealt wickedly, and we've acted improperly. Not only them, but us. Says the Malbim, chatanu, right? She'achaznu ma'asei avoseinu biyadeinu, we have it in our own midst as well. V'chatanu kimohem, we have sinned like they have. Ulam, however, anachnu hosaftu ma'asei avoseinu, right? We have added on to what they did. Shehem chatu mitzad hataiva, O hashgaga shezekeder hachet, that they sinned out of wanton desire, and perhaps out of ignorance, and that's the extent of what's called chet. V'anachnu he'evinu, we have done what's called he'evinu. It said avus hasecha v'hakfira, we've done it out of a sense of rebelliousness, a sense of iniquity. That's much further. V'hirshanu, hirshanu is a sense of mazid, with intent. So we've gone further. Now he lists them out. Avoseinu b'mitzrayim l'huiskilu niflei secha, our fathers in Egypt didn't understand, didn't grasp, did not heed your wonders. Lo zachru es rov chasadecha. They did not remember all of the mercy that you brought to them. Vayamru al yam beyamsuf. And they were rebellious at the sea, even at the Red Sea, right? The mice in the end of the day, what happened? They get to Yamsuf, they just left Egypt, and they're already complaining, we should go back to Mitzrayim. Just took you out, we're going to cross the sea, and you want to go back to Egypt. So even there, they were already rebellious. And what did you do, Hashem? Vayoshiyem leman shemol hodiya esgura. So you, Hashem, you saved them for your own sake, right? To show your might and to show your power so that it should be known to the world. And what did they respond with? How did they return the favor? Vayigar bayamsuf vayecharav. Right? This is further part of Hashem's answer for them. Hashem rebukes the sea. We'll see that further when we get to Halal. Hashem rebukes the sea, and it splits, it dries up. And you lead them through in the depths as though it's a wilderness. The Malbim writes in his commentary on this verse that what happened was the sea splits, and under the sea split, Brother Hashem raised the ground so that they didn't have to necessarily plumb into the depths all the way to the bottom of the sea. Rather, it leveled out so they could walk directly across, and at the same time, it was so dry as if they were walking in the desert. Kemidbar, it was like a desert. It was that dry, it was that easy, it was that easy to walk. Vayoshiye miyad sonei in verse 10, right, he saved them from their enemies. Vayigale miyad oyev, right, and he redeemed them from the hands of their enemies. Vayichasu mayim tzareihem, and the waters then covered their adversaries. Echad mehem lo nosa, nobody was left. This is sort of a progression similar to what you have in Az Yoshir, but in the story itself in the Torah, that there were certain different levels of Mitzrim, and that the Sukkim here, the verses here, sort of do that as well. As Sasone and Oyev and Atzar, right? We have in Purim, so Haman is Tsar Va'oyev, right? He's sort of both. But beyond the scope of now. Vayamina bidvarav yashiru tilaso. And then, only then did they believe, and then did they sing. Verse 13. But, unfortunately, miharu shachuma asav, lo chikula atzaso. They soon forgot his works. They waited not. They didn't wait for his counsel. They immediately moved on. Vayusavu taiva bamidbar, vayinasu el bishimon. Right, in the deserts, they lusted. They had grand and great desires in the desert. Right, this is kivra sataiva. When they desired for meat, immediately they begin to complain after Yamsuf. So, what did you do, Hashem? Vayitein lohem she'el asam in tesvav in 15. You gave it to them. Vayishalach razon benafsham. Right, but you sent leanness into their souls. But you gave it. You gave them to their request. But it affected them in the insides. It's amazing how David HaMelech, in writing this, is sort of commenting, really. And it's a comment on Klal Yisrael, Bnei Yisrael, and the behavior in the Midbar. Vayikanu leMoshe b'machane le'Aharon kedosh Adonai. And they were jealous of Moshe in the camp, and of Aharon, who you appointed, who was a kedosh Hashem. Who are we talking about now? What happens here? So here, we get an interesting story. Here we get the story of Korach. So we'll get into a very interesting Malbim here in a moment. But here we get to say, it would appear to be out of order. Says the Malbim, two possibilities here. If we get to the story here of Korach, v'yikanu l'Moshe, they're jealous. And then in 17, tiftach eretz vativ l'dosan, Batichas al Adas Aviram, that the ground opens up and it swallows Dasan and it covers over Aviram, and then in 18 Vativar Eish ba'adasam lehavat lahayit Rashim, and the fire was kindled and they were burned, right? So that's the story of Korach Adas. So how does that appear hereafter? So says the Malbim, interestingly enough, like this. There's always a question that exists as to when the story of Korach takes place. Is it early on in the desert? Is it after Chet HaMeraglim? L'mais in the Torah, it's written after Chet HaMeraglim. Is that where it happened? Says the Malbim like this. Lafi ha-seder ha-amur po, according to the order that's written here, mevur kedas ha-omrim shemach ha-lakaso shel Korach haya kodem maise ha-meraglim. So he says that the story of Korach, according to this order, is before the story of the Meraglim. But achar maise shel kirvo sataiva, but after the story of the desire for meat. But what do you do on the side? But the one who says that the story actually took place after the Meraglim, that the Torah really is chronological in the sense that Shlach and then Korach happens, so then what are you doing here? So he says, you have to say, Shechoshev lefi chomer hachet v'ha'onesh, that what's going on in the story here is an increased level of iniquity and chet, and then an increased level in punishment. So we're sort of going up the ladder, as it were, and you start with Kirvos HaTaiva, and you start with the issues at the Yamsuf, and you're sort of progressing to Dasan and Aviram and Korach, and then the Meraglim and Chet HaEgel, which are grouped next. This is V'lachain. Somach HaEgel u'Meraglim biyachad achar ma'asa Korach. Therefore, connected the Egel and Meraglim next after Korach. Shahayochet am gadol b'yoser. B'yeser says, because their Chet there was much larger. So he says, so you have all these things going on in these stories. So those who were after Moshe, right, we know, and there were those who were after Aaron, those who wanted to have Moshe's role, and those who were upset, they wanted to be Aaron, right? It's all about jealousy, it's all about power, but Lamaisa, that's what it was. So you have all the different punishments. You have Vativ Ladasam, Vatichas Aviram, Vativ Ar'esh. Chet, 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 chet. And now verse Yud Tes, in Gumsi Yud Tes, Yasu Egel b'chorev yishtachavu l'masecha. They made a calf in Chorev and they bowed down to a molten image. Masecha here does not mean mask. It does not really mean mask anywhere. It's really molten images. Longer conversation. Vayamiru eskivodam betavnis shor ochel esev. In verse 20, they exchanged their kavod, their honor, and their dignity for the likeness of an 11 ox that eats grass. Phew. Wow. Right, unbelievable how terrible that is. Here they're standing at Har Sinai, they're getting the Torah, and they make a bad exchange. They make a bad deal, and they trade the glory of God for the likeness of an ox. What a commentary from David HaMelech. Shachu el Moshiam osegidolos b'mitzrayim. They forgot the one who saved them. The one who had done great things for them in Mitzrayim, Nifla'os Eretz Cham, Nora'os Al Yamsup, the one who had done wonders for them in the land of Cham, which you can say is the land of Goshen, it's the place where they lived, all of the terrible and awesome things at Yamsup, they forgot them. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what was your response in that moment? Understandable. Vayomer Lahashmidam. Hashem said, let's destroy them. Enough with them. Lule Moshe Bechiro Amad Beperet Lefanov. Moshe stands in the breach. Moshe stands before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, literally between the rocks and the breach that's standing there, both physically and metaphorically, Lahashiv Chamaso Mehashchis, to turn back your wrath, to turn back your anger, so that you would not destroy them. So here you get not only where you have HaKadosh Baruch Hu was doing all his wondrous chesed for them, but you have Moshe Rabbeinu stepping into the breach, and David HaMelech lauding and praising the boldness and the heroic nature of Moshe Rabbeinu. Verse 24 goes back to Chet. Verse 24 begins a discussion of the Meraglim. V'yamasu be'eretz chemda, they despised and they scorned the beautiful land. Lo ha'aminu l'dvarom, they did not believe your word. You, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, told them the land was great, the land was good, the land was they're supposed to be, right? And they didn't believe you. Verse 25, they murmured in their tents. They said, this is not going to work. This is not going to happen. We're going to get destroyed here. We're not going to survive. We're not going to make it. And therefore, he says in 26, right, Vayisa Yadolam Lapilosam. Therefore, you swore concerning them, right? You took your hand concerning them. Lapilosam. That you would overthrow them, you would destroy them in the midbar, right? And that they would never make it to the land. It says the Malbim lahapilosam b'midbar, shehem atzmam lo yavu el eretzchem l'shem ha'asu. They themselves will never come to the wondrous and desirous land that they so abhorred, right? Then it says chav zayin, right? Ulahapil zaram bagoyim ulazarosam ba'aratzos, and that you would cast out their children from amongst the nation, literally their seed to amongst the nations, and scatter them, lezaro samba aratzos, right, and to scatter them into the different lands. And we know, of course, that that's true, right? Says the Malbim, fascinating statement, that by virtue of what happened here, the notion of golus comes to us as a possibility and a reality later on in generations to their children. As he then quotes, right, you cried a cry, literally a free one, or a wasted or a useless cry, and I'm going to make a bechila doro, says the Chazal. I'm going to make it a cry for all eternity. And we know that that's Tisha B'Av. And then we go on and we get more of the Chataim. Vayitzamdu l'Baal Peor. They joined themselves to serve Baal Peor. Vayochu zivchei mesim. And they ate the sacrifices of the dead. Moving a little along. Vayachisu b'mal aleihem. And they provoked Hashem with all of their doings. V'tifratz b'am magefa. And Hashem brought a plague upon them. And then, oh, so not only do we get Moshe Rabbeinu before, now we get Pinchas. Vayamor Pinchas v'yifalel. V'tayotzer ha-magefa. Pinchas stands up and he judges. V'yifalel means to judge. It's an important word because it's sort of the same word that we use for tefillah. Right, the palel or pei lamed lamed, that root means to judge. Pinchas judged them, but teyatzar hamagefa, and the magefa, the plague that was brought, that magefa stops. And you Hashem for him, matecha shevlo litzdaka l'dor v'ador ad olam. You thought for him, and you counted that for him as a matter of righteousness for all generations forever. You thought for that, for Pinchas, as a good thing. And Chazal tell us that some in Klal Yisrael were not thrilled with the actions of Pinchas, and were not appreciative of what it was that he had done for them. Clearly, David HaMelech is not in that camp, and he makes the comment that it was for him, Lador Lador, as the Torah tells us, but David HaMelech sort of reiterates it and adds his opinion to it also. Vayakzifu alme meriva vayera lemoshe ba'avuram. They then angered you, Hashem, at the waters of Meriva, and it went badly for Moshe Rabbeinu because of them there. Right? We all know what happens there. Meriva, that's when Moshe Rabbeinu hits the rock and doesn't speak to the rock. He says, Shimu nahamorim, right? Shimu nahamorim, listen to me, O rebellious ones. And the different varieties of understandings as to what it is that went on there. But Lamaisa Moshe Rabbeinu, that's where his story is. Kihimru was Rucho, because they made him bitter, Vayivati Bisfasav, and he spoke rashly with his lips. David HaMelech points out in Lamed Gimel, he spoke rashly with his lips, that's the Shimu Nahamorim. And that David HaMelech seems to imply that Moshe Rabbeinu's his act, his erroneous act, is with his words. And then he moves on. And it doesn't stop there, unfortunately, but it keeps going. Lo hishmidu es ha'ami masher amar Adonai lahem. They did not destroy the people as Hashem had commanded them. They left some of them alive. They didn't come in. As the Malbim says, this is an Eretz Yisrael. This is already an Eretz Yisrael. V'yis'arvu b'goyim. They mingled with the other nations in 35. V'yilmedu ma'aseihem. And they learned their actions and their works. V'ya'avdu es atzabeihem. And they served their idols. V'yihyu lahem lemokesh. And it became for them a snare, a trap. We know in the Torah tells us that Moshe Rabbeinu and HaKadosh Baruch Hu certainly exerts energy and words on a regular basis about the destruction of the other nations when they come into Eretz Yisrael and the ridding of the land of these people, and how crucial that is for that to happen. And if it doesn't happen, then it's going to be limokesh. It's going to be a snare. Don't work with them. Don't deal with them. Don't do treaties with them. Nothing. Rid the land of them. And if you don't, you're going to have a problem. You're going to have... You're going to fail, and we see that that's how it bears out. In the end, in the Shoftim period, the period of the judges, that entire period leading into Shmuel, where you have up and down and up and down and up and down. The Jewish people are good and they're bad, and comes to Shoftim and he helps them and he saves them and he rescues them. It's because they didn't finish the job. They did not finish the job, it seems, with Kvishas Haaretz, with the capturing of the land. They don't complete the task. We are in 37. Vayizbechu es b'neihem v'espinoseim l'shedim, and then they sacrificed their sons and their daughters to demons. Is it dafka to demons? It's any sort of an avodah zara. If you want to say that it's their children, you could say it could be molech, it could be that kind of an avodah zara, which was the action of the avodah zara, was doing such a thing. 38. Vayishpichu damnaki, and they shed innocent blood. Dam b'neim v'espinoseim asher zivchu la'atza be'kenan. They sacrificed their sons and their daughters to the idols of Canaan. Vatechanaf ha'aretz badam, and the land became polluted with their blood. Vayitmeu b'ma'aseyem, vayiznu b'ma'alaleyem, and then the land itself and the people themselves became defiled vis-a-vis through their actions, and they come astray. They go astray with their doings. So now what you have is the Jewish people in Eretz Yisrael, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu has been good to them. He has actually brought them to the land, albeit it took 40 years. He has destroyed enemies before them. He has done miraculous things before their eyes. And on a regular basis, they come up short. They come up short. And what happens in verse 40? Vayichar af Adonai be'amo, vayisoeves nachlaso. Hashem is angry. Of course he's angry. How could he not be angry with Klal Yisrael? They're not doing, not fulfilling their mission in the world. Hashem gets angry at his nation. Vayisoeves nachlaso. He is abhorred and disgusted with his inheritance, with his people. In 41, vayitneim biad goyim, biyimshu bohem son ehem. He gives them into the hands of the other nations, and those other nations, their hated nations, rule over them. When is this? Says the Malbim. B'yimei shvot ha-shoftim. This is in the days of the judges, which we just mentioned. V'ilchatzum oyveihem v'yikanu tachas yadam. Their enemies oppressed them, and they became subdued by them. As we know, throughout that set, that entire work, the Sefer Shoftim, the downs are down, and the highs are very high, but the downs are very low. And it's, you know, lemaisa, the first time in many, many, many years that the Jewish people are subjugated by anybody else. Imagine the emotional crush that can have on the Klal Yisrael. Here they were in the Midbar 40 years, they never had any problems. They conquer the land, except for Ai. Basically, they have no problems. They're living in Eretz Yisrael, seemingly without any problem, until really the stories in Shoftim begin, and it starts to come apart on them. And they get put down by their enemies. Nonetheless, 43, it starts again. Ta'amim rabos yatzileim. Many, many times you delivered them and you rescued them. Fehemu yamru ba'atzasam, v'yamoku ba'avonam. They were rebellious in their counsel, in their approach, in their deeds, and they continued to sink lower. Vayamoku is a fascinating word. Vayamoku, they kept getting deeper. They kept getting deeper. Simply couldn't get out of it. Vayar batzalahem b'shamos v'nesam. Nevertheless, Hashem, here it begins. Nevertheless, you saw their distress, and you heard their cry. Rina Sam is an interesting choice of word here. You would think it would be Bechi Asam, but it does say Rina Sam. What does that mean? What does that mean? You have to say that it simply means that he heard them. He heard them crying out. The right interpretation for the moment seems to escape me as to how one wants to understand that word. It's not an easy word to interpret here in context. Like, how do you understand it to be Rina Sam? How's that Rina Sam? But I think it simply means, as the Ibn Ezra writes, that it's Saka Sam, It's a loud cry. It's a loud voice. And then, so not only that, so now it gets good again, right? After all that, v'yizkolam briso, and Hashem, you remembered the covenant that you made, v'yinachem kirov chasadov, and you allowed them to repent. You felt bad. You had mercy for them, according to your grand mercy, as we mentioned at the outset. Hashem always has chesed for us, always has love for us. V'yitino osam l'rachem, and He gave them over to pity and to comfort and to rachem lifnei kol shoveyim. Right. By virtue in front of all those who carried them off, who were their enemies. Hoshienu Adonai Eloheinu. Now David HaMelech gets to the end of it. He gets to the heart of it. With all of that which it was, and all of that which had gone on, which wasn't good, which was bad, and we continue to be bad, he says, Hashem, Lamaisa, save us. Right? Kapteinu min Hagoyim. Draw us back from all the other nations. That we can offer praises and give thanks to Hashem, to your name, and that we can triumph in your praise. This is what we want, right? This is what we need. This is where we have to have. This is what we need to have for us in the end of the day, because lemaisa that's all we have left. Baruch Adonai Elohei Yisrael, min ha'olam v'ad ha'olam. Blessed is Hashem, right, the God of the Jews, the God of Israel, for everlasting, min ha'olam v'ad ha'olam, for all time. V'yamar kol ha'am amen, and let everybody say amen, hallelujah. Amen, meaning that everyone is going to say that it's a Kel Melech Ne'eman, and that it's true, and that it's justified, and that it should be, and that it should be hallelujah, that everyone, that it should be the Mahal Lashem Hashem, right? Thus, it's an amazing mizmor. If we had time for greater depth to really describe and to discuss all of the chataim and how David HaMelech sees them and how he understands them and how he expresses them and how he perhaps sheds light on them, and also at the same time how he sheds light on the chesed of Hashem back to the Jewish people, even in their iniquity, or perhaps even in their undeserved state. And he sort of ends out what we call the fourth sefer, the fourth volume of Tehillim. He ends it out with a prayer. He ends it out with a sense that this is what we need, this is what we want, this is what has to be for Klal Yisrael. Right? And that's how it works. So he says the Radak, and we'll finish with the Radak. In verse 47, Hoshienu, he says, Amar HaMeshorer, the author says, Alalashon b'nei ha-golos Hoshienu, for all those who are in the galus, Hoshienu v'kapzenu min ha-goyim lo'odos Hashem kachecha, kishe t'kapzenu noda lecha l'shem t'ila kachecha, when it is that we are all drawn together, we will offer an unbelievable amount of thanks to Hashem, l'shtabach v'shlasecha, oz nishtabach al kol am betila secha, utila Hashem heim ha-chasadim, she'asa imanu kishe'anu mahalim lo aleihem. And all of the things that all the things that we're going to say, all the praises we're going to offer are based on all of the things that Hashem does for us that we have to offer praise for. Baruch Hashem Elokei Yisrael. And he says, V'oz nomar Baruch Hashem. Then we'll say, blessed is Hashem. And everyone will bless Hashem based on their understanding. And everyone will say, Amen V'Amen. Right? And everyone will say to each other, Hallelujah. And it will be for all time. Min harishon v'adzman ha'acharon l'kol hayomim, says the Radak, that it will be for all time. We continue tomorrow with chapter 107, Perek Kuf Zion.